Welcome, everyone. This morning, we welcome you to our worship services. To our guests, as always, we are honored by your presence. We thank you for being here this morning. If you have not yet done so, we ask for you to kindly share your information with us. We would love to keep in contact with you, and we would love to continue to strengthen these bonds of fellowship between us. To our brethren who were here since earlier this morning, thank you for being here, and I hope and pray that we continue to always strive toward growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles to the second letter written to Timothy. Second letter written to Timothy, chapter 4. Second letter written to Timothy, chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, hallowed be thy name. Father, it is our prayer that thy name has truly been glorified by the lips of thy saints, not only here at Southeast, but everywhere in the world where thy son's church is gathered, specifically with the intent of worshiping thee. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity that we have not only to give our voices in praise and glory to thee, but also, Father, to be able to give to one another through the mutual edification. Father, as we now stand before thy throne to listen to thy counsel, Father, to listen to thy instruction, please, Father, allow this servant to speak as thy herald. Allow me, Lord, to share that which I've received, and that those words that I speak come from thy word and not my own, Father. And Lord, grant me the strength to live godly in thy sight. Grant me the boldness, Father, to be able to preach thy truth in its entirety, Lord. And that, Father, everything that we do, Father, may be first and foremost for thy honor and thy glory, but also, Lord, for our mutual edification. For those of our friends, Father, who have yet to accept thy son's gospel, please, Lord, we ask that you open their ears, that you open their minds and allow them, Father, to listen intently. That they may see, Father, that indeed thou have already given the antidote to that sin problem. And that, Father, they may not become dull of hearing, but rather they may become active hearing, so that they soon may obey thy gospel in accordance to thy word. Forgive us for our sins, for we pray in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Itching Ear Generation is the title that we have chosen to begin as the introduction of this third quarter. If you have not yet noticed, but this year our elders have been doing something different, which has been a bit curious and a bit entertaining for me as I prepare, because they purposely chose every quarter to have a different area for us to focus on. And of course, even though that is the case, it's always interesting, and the reason I say it's an entertainment is because, as you probably notice, I love puzzles. And it's always interesting to see that even though the focus is shifting, there's still some way that you can tie back into what was previously learned. But that's not what we're going to be doing. I'm going to try to do my best to begin to study the subject that has been assigned for this quarter. And what we're going to be seeing, brethren, is precisely this generation, the itching ear generation. You notice when we talk about this, Paul is saying that those who have the itchy ears are those who are wanting to hear something that makes them feel good. They want someone to tickle their ear, if you will, or they want to feel that sensation of when you have something that itches and someone scratches it for you and has that good feeling behind it. But notice that what they are not doing is they are not enduring sound doctrine. They're not wanting to go according to the will of God, but rather are doing their own desires. And thus, even though our eldership did not assign this as the title, I believe it very apropos to what we're going to be seeing for the next couple of months. Because we will be exploring precisely these types of doctrines, and we will be comparing them with God's truth so that we can see why they're nothing more than feel-good lessons, if you will. We're going to be exploring different ways of how man, as we said this morning, keeps trying to find loopholes in God's truth so that they can try to bring up his doctrines, as Paul clearly states here, according to their own desires. We're going to be learning and seeing how they indeed will have heaped for themselves these types of teachers, and they turn their ears away from the truth, seeking these fables, thinking ideas such as once saved, always saved, ideas such as there is no hell, ideas such as everyone will go to heaven as long as you love God, no matter where you worship. These are feel-good messages that are meant to simply scratch the ears that are itching and are not treating, indeed, the disease that is causing the ears to itch. You see, if you've noticed my picture on the screen up there, we see me scratching an ear, showing us an image of someone who has something going on. Something that is happening that is not natural, that is not healthy. Perhaps a small itch because of a fly or a little rash, okay, maybe. But when you have that constant itching, where that it's so insatiable that you constantly have to scratch and scratch and scratch, and it never goes away. Well, then that is not something minor. That is not something subtle. That is showing us that there is something wrong. There is something unhealthy taking place inside of the ear. And thus, because it is the case, it is much more than just the tickling of the ear. And the way that Paul presents them, notice that they have the itching ears because something is bothering them. Something is bothering them because they want to hear the truth, but they don't want to hear the whole truth. They don't want to hear, or nor do they want to endure the truth. So this morning, brethren and friends, I want us to take on this as if we were the doctors that are going to be examining this case through the Word of God. Notice that when doctors do not know what's probably going on, in order for them to begin to diagnose, many times they turn to the books of history. They'll turn to cases previously where perhaps another case similar or exactly like that one took place. And they begin to use that, as if you will, as a platform to help guide them to lead their patient who's going through this rare illness, perhaps to full health. What we have to begin, brethren, by understanding this third quarter is that this is not new. This about the itching ear generation is not a new generation. In fact, in every dispensation of Holy Writ, we read that there were always those who did not want to endure the truth, who heaped up teachers according to their own desires, and they had the itching ears. Therefore, they sought teachers that would give them a bit of truth and then a whole bit of leaven that would leaven the whole lump. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, teaches us this lesson. He tells us that we should not be marveled. It happened in the times of in Eden. We see where Eve's ear was tickled by the serpent's idea of, you shall not die. We see again with Abraham, how when Abraham was being tried to seduce by the king of Sodom, telling him to keep the booty, to keep the spoils of the war. But Abraham did not take the bite, for he said, you shall not say that you have enriched Abraham. We see it in the dispensation of Mosaic Age. We see it how we read about the rebellion of Korah. And when we study that next week, as we continue on in the book of Jude, you will see that Korah was tickling the ears of many of those that wanted Moses to stop being the leader. We see the kings of Israel, that not a single king of Israel was ever faithful to God because of Jeroboam's sin in wanting to appease the people of not traveling all the way to Jerusalem with the sake of not wanting to lose his kingdom. And we can give so many more examples, brethren, to show and to prove that this is not new. But the reality is that when we study 2 Timothy chapter 4, as we understand the message that Paul is giving Timothy, because this is his last letter. This is his last letter as he is about to be crucified, he's about to be sacrificed. Chapter 4, verse 6. We will learn and we observe how Paul's entire message in the second letter to his son in the faith is to remain faithful, is to remain strong in Scripture. It is for him not to lose and to defend the sound doctrine. And this is why Paul speaks about this generation. He speaks about this to Timothy so that he will know how he is going to be faced with challenges in the world, which is the same that why we are doing this quarter. But remember, brethren, we are diagnosing the cause of this illness. And notice that the first thing you're going to see is that it is a negligent denial of the infirmity. As men, we usually know what this means. We feel a small pang. We feel a bit sharp pain, or we feel some discomfort. And because we are men and don't want to go to the doctor, we'll ignore it and we'll just say, oh, it's okay, nothing's going on. It's not that serious. When it starts hurting more, then I'll go to the doctor instead of being preventative. Well, notice that this itching doesn't necessarily begin as something that is illness, but it starts by first itching and just getting a little sensation. But the more we have it and the more we scratch at it, the more raw it becomes, isn't it? The worse we make it, because as we keep scratching it, we're going to make that skin break and we can even lead to infection. But notice that it began with a small tickling. It began with something that we dismissed and ignored as insignificant. Go to the book of Zechariah chapter 7. And again, remember that we're going to see this in every generation. Zechariah chapter 7, beginning at verse 8. Zechariah chapter 7, beginning at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to hear, to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Notice, brethren, that we can get an idea in verses 9 and 10 that perhaps the prophet did not finish the thought, right? It seems as if he had just begun the introduction, and then all of a sudden the entrance of the people was lost. As soon as they heard the message and they heard what God had to speak beyond through the lips of Zechariah, we get this sense, or we can perceive in verse 11, that immediately what they do is they turn around and they cover their ears, not wanting to hear what Zechariah had to say. You see, the itching began, but as 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 teaches us, they did not want to endure the word. They believed that perhaps the prophet was simply exaggerating. They treated him as if what he had to say was more of the same. We've heard this from Jeremiah before. We've heard this from Elijah. We've heard this from Moses himself. We're tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. Often we hear that God is going to punish us, but he has yet not punished us. Because remember that Zechariah was written before they were taken into captivity by Assyria. And this is why, if you will turn very quickly with me in 2 Chronicles, very, very quickly, it is sad to read those words, because indeed their attitude was one of self-confidence, thinking that God's promise to punish the sin would never take place. But notice what God says through His Holy Spirit in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by His messengers, rising up early and sending them because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets until the wrath of the Lord aroused against His people. Notice, till there was no remedy. Till there was no remedy. You see, brethren, we have to understand that more than three centuries had taken place where God had compassion on His people. Jeremiah had already prophesied about them being taken captive into Babylon when these words take place. Isaiah had already spoken his prophecies of God's righteousness and His judgment against His people. And so many of the prophets that were contemporaries with both Jeremiah and Isaiah had gone to speak. And we see the plurality, in verse 15, where it says, His messengers, plural. And thus, when we read in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 through 14, we see how the people of God denied that this was true. They ignored what was happening with their ears and acted as if it wasn't too serious. They had this attitude of, well, it's just a slight itch. It doesn't bother me. Whose ears don't itch every once in a while? But the reality is that they were ignoring the truth of what was going to happen. And they were ignoring, as Balaam, as we studied this morning, purposely ignored that what God has spoken will indeed happen. See, many times, brethren, when we look at it from a perspective of our health, many times we could prevent the illnesses that come upon us. Yes, there are some that cannot be prevented, but then there are those that can. For example, a pneumonia can be prevented as soon as you have an unnatural cough. That you know that if you do not take care of it, if you don't take the proper precautions, it can lead to that if you continue to disregard it. And notice, brethren, how this is true, especially in spiritual matters. Because a lot of these false doctrines that we're going to be examining began with a simple, quote, innocent thought, right? The idea was a, quote, noble idea, but because no one took the time to examine it and it was disregarded as harmless, notice where we are today in the itching ear generation. But when we diagnose this, we see also that it is a cause because of a refusal to follow medical advice. How many times when we are told that we need to have surgery, we don't want surgery, so we go to another doctor. The other doctor tells us the same thing, so we go to another one. Until finally we end up with some kind of shaman or some kind of a snake oil charmer who tells us, no, that's not true. There are herbs and there are oils that you can use. You can grab turquoise or you can grab copper and so on and so forth. All because we do not want to follow the medical advice. Because we refuse to have surgery. And you know, when we read in Scripture, we see the exact same thing. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. In verse 14 through 16, notice what Scripture says here. Now it was so after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up at his gods and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from your hand? So it was as he talked with him that the king said to him, have we made you the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed? Then the prophet ceased and said, I know that God is determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. How many times, brothers and sisters, I know the elders, if I ask them, they'll shake their head as well, right? How many times this has been the reaction that we've received when we're trying to pull someone out of sin? How many times when we confront them with Scripture and we do so lovingly? Notice that Paul told Timothy, convince, rebuke, exhort, and correct. How many times when we have to confront the truth and we show them and we open Scripture and God's spotlight sheds light on where the mistake is, on where the problem that needs to be addressed is. How many times, instead of taking the advice, like King Amaziah, we are told to stay quiet? Who put you as master over me? Who asked you for your advice? Who told you I care in what you have to say? They may not always be that disrespectful with their words, but they sure are with their disobedience and their lack of respect for God's word. You see, brethren, oftentimes the messenger is the one who is told to be quiet. On many occasions, it's the messenger who takes the brunt of the fist that punches, right? Or the words that are hurtful and painful. But the reality is that it is not a lash out against the messenger. It is against God Himself. You know, it always chills my spine when I hear Christ tell Saul of Tarsus, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Saul didn't think he was persecuting Jesus Himself. In the mind of Saul, he was persecuting those of the way. And yet Jesus tells him, "I take it personally. It is not my people, it is me, my body, that you are persecuting." We read James chapter 3, where he warns us about not cursing our fellow man. And the reason he tells us is because how can we say that we love God, but then we curse man who was made in the image of God? But the reaction, brethren, is always because we don't want to hear the truth. Again, they do not want to endure the sound doctrine. They did not want to endure God's word. And thus, because what you were speaking, what I was speaking, what I will be speaking in the following weeks is not going to sit well with people. Because what they're going to hear is that you have not been worshiping. What they're going to hear is that you are not giving God honor and glory. What they're going to hear is that you will die in condemnation lest you repent. And the sad part is that even amongst you, some will tell me, "Brother, why are you being so harsh? Brother, why are you not loving? Brother, we shouldn't judge them." The prophet of the Lord was doing just that with the king. He was judging him because God sent him to do so. He was not condemning him, but he was doing so with God's righteous judgment. And we see the king's reaction is going to be one similar to those who do not want to repent, to those whose hearts have become high above, exalted against God. They refuse to follow medical advice. You know, when I made this point, I could not stop but think about my uncle, who would never go to the doctor. And he would always tell me, I was telling Theo, "Why don't you go to the doctor?" It's like, "Man, I'll pay for you. I know you don't have insurance, but man, I can pay for you. Let me take you to the doctor. Let's go get you a physical." No, mijo, no. "I don't like doctors, because when you go to doctors, you always get out of the clinic sick." He believed the doctors were the reason for his illness. And many times, many of us do the same thing with worship. We do the same thing with God's word. How often do we hear, "No, I don't like reading the Bible because it scares me. I don't like to go to that place of worship because everything they say makes me feel bad. It makes me feel guilty. They shame me to do the right thing." 1 John chapter 3 says, if your heart accuses you, greater than your heart is God. But yet they've refused to follow God's advice as to how to heal their soul. They refuse to heed to God's commandment of how to correct that which has been made crooked. As we saw in our Bible study this morning, they feel many times that they are the exception to the rule and that they can achieve the impossible. But then we also learn from this that it takes an incomplete application of treatment. So you go to the doctor. So you decide to go pick up your prescription. But it isn't enough to just go and pick up your prescription. It isn't enough to have just gone in to see the doctor and to know what's going on with your body or what's going on with your itching ear. Now you're being told that you have to apply that ointment. Now you're being told that you have to apply that treatment. And perhaps the instructions are that you have to apply it twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. But then you are being told that before you apply it, you have to wash your ears and make sure that it is clean. But then you're also being told that you have to lay by side, and you're told and told and told. And eventually you say, man, this is too much. Why do I have to do all of this just because my ears itch? Isn't it easier if I just keep scratching and just leave it alone? An incomplete application. Notice that you're going to learn during this quarter, or we rather are going to learn together, how many of these false doctrines are nothing more than incomplete applications of God's truth. They are meant to make life easier. They are meant to make you feel better, make your conscience be deceived or self-deceived, making you think that what you do is enough, even if you don't complete the process or finish to read and understand the truth and the whole truth of God. Go now with me to Acts chapter 24. Go with me to Acts chapter 24. And observe in verses 22 through 27 how many that go through these false religions and false doctrines have this same attitude as this man had. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, how sad to read that. How sad to read that Felix had an accurate knowledge. And not just an accurate knowledge, he had a more accurate knowledge than the Jews themselves that were accusing Paul. But we keep reading. He adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. How many times, friends, you come because you want to feel good that you came to worship? It isn't about giving God your best, it's about making you feel good. It's about calming your conscience because you want to feel that at least you did something godly today. But you don't take the message and use it to change or transform, because you were here warming a seat, and for you that was enough. How many times do you come looking for something in return from the eldership? Because you need financial help, because you need bread, or because you need some kind of assistance? How many times do you come because you're feeling lonely and you want to be loved? You want to make yourself feel emotionally well? Then you're like Felix. Because none of those are reasons to be here today. You simply came for the incomplete application. Yes, all of those will happen as a blessing from God, but they should not be the motivator or at the heart of why you came this morning. The same is true for us, brothers and sisters. How many times did we came so that we can check off the list? Made it to worship on time. Check. But we leave just the way we arrived. Oh, we enjoyed the entertainment because the preacher perhaps spoke well, but when the preacher asked, "Well, what did you learn?" Well, it was all good. But what did you learn? And how are you going to apply it? And what are you going to do with the lesson that you've learned? The stuttering begins. You see, Felix was not really interested in the way. Felix was looking for something in return. But yet, how many times when we go to the doctor and it begins to hurt, we start yelling and telling the doctor, stop, 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 I can't handle it anymore. No, stop, it hurts. Well, it has to. If I don't drain this abscess, it's going to get infected. And the only way to drain it is for me to squeeze it and make sure that I dig in it and take out every last bit of pus and rotted flesh. No, but I can't hurt. It hurts too much. That's what Felix did. When Paul began to reason with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. Oh, it hurts too much. Stop, Paul. You're hurting my conscience. Stop, Paul. You're hurting my soul. You're squeezing my heart too much. Stop. I don't want to hear anymore. Just give me antibiotics. Give me something to numb it out. But that's not going to cure you. Doesn't matter. I'd rather die from this than endure this pain. The itching ear generation. You see that? The sad thing about those words is that it's not only outside. Many times it's inside. Nominal Christians. Nominal Christians who, when you start showing them, you ought to be teachers. Why haven't you grown in the number of years as Christian that you've been? They don't want to hear that. They don't want to endure the sound doctrine. And the reaction? They leave and look for another place where they will not be demanded to be the Christian that God wants them to be. But our final point, we see that they turn to snake oil for the cure. They don't want it to hurt. They've been negligent, and the only reason they're at the doctor is because now the pain is unbearable, the itching is unbearable. They don't want to suffer the sound doctrine. They don't want to go through the process. They don't want to follow the regimen that is being applied to them. So what they do is they start looking for alternative methods of medicine, don't they? They start turning to other ways that perhaps will work. They start researching herbs and house remedies. They start turning perhaps to mysticism. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 28. And as you read Jeremiah 28, I encourage you to keep Jeremiah 29:11 in your mind. Because what's happening in chapter 28, remember that Jeremiah has worn a yoke to show the people that God was about to send them into captivity into Babylon, and this was a visual for them to understand, and God encouraging them to repent so that his anger could be stopped. And yet what we see in chapter 28 in verses 10 and forward, notice what happens. Then Hanani, the prophet, took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hanani spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hanani the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hanani, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their places yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hanani the prophet, hear now, Hanani, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hanani the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. God in chapter 29 tells the people, and I'm paraphrasing, get comfortable. Build homes. Make families. Because you're about to spend 70 years as captives of Babylon. Hananiah opposes Jeremiah and boldfacedly lies, saying it's not going to be 70 years, it's only going to be 2. And I'll give you a simple example of today. No. Divorce and remarriage, no, we don't have to be so strict. No, there's a Pauline privilege. Those who promote this false doctrine are like Hananiah. And what's sad is many people are trusting the lie. Many people are being taught rebelliousness against God. And because they are trusting the lie and living in sin, many people's souls are being lost because of the Hananiahs of our world today. Man doesn't want to deal with the problem of sin. More importantly, man doesn't want to deal with the consequences of sin. Man wants to sin and then get away with it unpunished. When they come to God, they want to transform His redemption into some kind of pass for sin. But when you show them, no, that's not what godly sorrow is. That's not what repentance means. Well, then they use phrases such as, this is why I'm, quote, turned off by religion. Why? Because you live your time and pleasure and now you don't want to deal with the consequences? Because you don't want to correct the pattern? That's on you, not on God. But yet there comes a Hananiah who fools them and tells them what they want to hear. Who tickles their ear by telling them, you surely will not die. The itching ear generation. You know, brethren, it's sad to say, especially on today that is known as Independence Day, a country that began because people came from another land seeking religious freedom. And what's sad is that we live in a culture that is soft. We live in a culture that has lost its values because no one can say anything against you anymore. Unless you are now labeled as a bully. I cannot tell a person living in sin that if they continue to live in that way, they will go to hell because then I am a bully. If they only knew that Satan is the greatest bully that is out there, intimidating people to stay quiet and not to speak God's truth. We must be bold, brethren. Loving, meek, but bold. And we're going to see that tonight. But I commend our eldership for choosing this subject. And although, yes, I'm not too happy that they put me at the front of doing it, I commend them for it. Because it is necessary. It is necessary to take the light of God to shed and expose man's false doctrine. We need to cure the itching ears. Now, my friend, perhaps you came here trying to cure those itching ears. I'm sure that today's lesson, this morning's lesson, was not one that tickled your ear. It was probably one that made your ears hurt because it showed that it's not just a simple itching that you have. It's something that's starting to get infected and you need to tend to it right now. Well, Christ is the answer. Christ is the great physician who is ready to cure your hearing with His doctrine. But the only way that antidote is going to work is by you obeying His commandments. And that obedience begins by not only repenting after you have believed and after you have heard the word of truth, but by confessing that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And then proving your faith in the obedience of baptism, being submerged fully in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Scripture says, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 4, that you will rise to a newness of life. In other words, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, you were dead in trespasses and sins. He will make you alive because of the riches of the great love with which He loves you. He will cure you, but only and only if you obey the instructions that He gives you in this word. Don't you want to be cured this morning from your itching ears? If there's anyone subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.